podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs. Today I'm going to share with you the truth about the Fed stress test on banks and why it is based on a bad set of facts. First, I want to remind you how to access our research, newconstructs.com. Check us out in Forbes, MarketWatch, Barron's, CNBC. We get a lot of attention for the good work we do, and we want you to know we work harder for you than anyone else to give you the best information to protect your portfolio from what is buried in the footnotes. Why invest without footnote knowledge? There's no reason, not at the price and easy availability we make our services. So what is the Fed missing when it comes to banks? Right, they're going out and they're looking at whether or not they've got enough reserves to deal with catastrophic losses or unexpected losses, right? You know, and the big assumption in all these models, these stress test models, is that the core businesses of these banks is going to be fine. It's going to perpetuate into perpetuity. It's going to be good for perpetuity. But I wonder if that's true. Is the day of the large banking giant going away? I think so. My great friend David Hendler at Viola Risk wrote a great article, right? Banks pass the stress test, but the Fed fails. Right, he wrote a nice report on this, talking about how banks passed the stress test, but the Fed failed. And they fail because they don't understand, or they're not recognizing the fact that large banks' businesses are under assault. Think about all the non-bank financial businesses out there. Who even needs a bank account these days? And who among you? Let me ask you this question, and write me back in an email. Who here can please send me an email if you have had service at a bank that was spectacular, that made you want to go back? Number one. Number two question, how many bank branches have you seen closed in your neighborhood in the last year? And I mean major bank branches. I don't count the small upstart banks, that's different. Right? A headline, March 19th, first thing in the morning, MarketWatch.com, the SEC allows Bank of America shareholders to vote on forming breakup plan. Right? That's what's happening next for Bank of America, JP Morgan, and others. They're going to be talking about how they're breaking these companies up because they're too big. They're unwieldy. They don't know what's going on. Remember the $7 billion whale right after Jamie Dimon said that they had the best risk measures in place? What? Yeah, it's too complicated. It's too big. They're into too many businesses. And they could afford to be in all these low profit businesses when guess what? They could afford to put the rest of the country at systemic risk. Right? When they didn't have to take the responsibility for the risk of taking major bets, right? Well, now that we said no to that, they've got to go back and make money in the bread and butter businesses, like lending, which is what banks are supposed to do, not placing proprietary bets based on the activities of their clients. Leave that to the investment banks. We'll save that for another podcast, right? But here's what you need to understand. The big banks are not great investments anymore. Some are better than others, right? You know, Wells Fargo always been an extremely well-run business. Right, and it doesn't hurt that we've done some business with them in the past. We know that they know how to do diligence, but at the same time, it has been one of the best ranked banks in our system long before we were doing business with Wells Fargo. So what I'm telling you is that it's more than just whether or not they can pass a stress test based on looking out a couple years, because a big part of the stress test passing assumes that the operating profits of the business will continue to fill the reserve coffers. Okay? Fill the reserve coffers. And by the way, if those core operating profits aren't really going to be there, those reserve coffers aren't going to be as full as people think. And by the way, I should note, we do business with pretty much all the major banks, advisors from all the major banks, right? They sign up through our website, have access to what we do, and I'm not providing an opinion on any of those folks in particular. I'm just pointing out that Wells Fargo has had over time the highest return on invested capital, or among the highest return on invested capital of all the bank companies we cover. Bank of America in particular has been fairly low. Others have been lower. And that doesn't mean there aren't good businesses there. I'm just saying they don't all fit well under one roof. And I think that's why Bank of America is one of the first that you're seeing on the list, and I'm saying there's going to be more, one of the first that we're seeing on the list that's going to be looking to break up. And we're going to really realize how much dysfunction there is inside some of these banks. And let's just, so I want you to know that they are, may not be as good of investments in the past as they have been, good as investments in the future as they have been in the past. So beware of the banks and understand that the stress test, not quite as good a test as we might think. You want more detail on that? Look for the report from my friend David Hendler at Viola Risk. He does some great work. I worked with him on Wall Street. Super smart guy. One of the best in the business on the fixed income side and on the whole overall capital structure.